Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Justin Herbert here on The Rich Eisen Show.
Live from The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
To what do you attribute your success so far?
How about that connection? Get used to it. Herbert to Keenan Allen.
A great coaching staff that has helped me. I think we've done a great job of working footwork and timing.
Earlier on the show, host of Peacock's Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio, ESPN NFL analyst Dan Orlovsky. Coming up from the CBS Comedy Bob Hart Sabashola, actor Billy Gardell, and now it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of our show is on the air. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We've talked about much of week 12 in the NFL, a little bit of college football with the kid from Buffalo, Jared Patterson, having the rushing record and touchdown record in his sights. And then the coach said I didn't notice all those 400 yards of rushing and the eight scores. Took him out of the game. I had a problem with that. I had an issue with that. We spoke to Mike Florio and Dan Orlovsky, Billy Gardella, Bob Hart's Abishola, diehard Steelers fan, a delightful human. He's coming up here on this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Did we come up with a poll question? I forgot even if we did that today. Did we do that?
We did not, but okay. I had a bunch of options. I never ended up putting any out.
Okay.
I can just run down what
sure, you have.
Who ends up the seventh seed in the NFC? Cardinals, Vikings, 49ers. I won't even put the Bears in there.
49ers are game behind Arizona, by the way. They could catch him.
Yeah, Cardinals are 6-5, Vikings, 49ers, Bears, all 5-6.
I'll tell you this, man. What if the 49ers beat the Bills on Monday Night Football, Week 13? They are 6-6 going into the final 4 weeks of the season. Again, it was just announced literally last hour. This is the top of hour number three of our Monday, last day of November edition of the Rich Eisen Show in 2020, that the 49ers are going to have to play their next two home games, in quotes, in Arizona because Santa Clara County said we're not going to allow any contact sports to be practiced or played until December 21st due to the raging coronavirus issue in Santa Clara County in California. What if they win? Then they're home for Washington at Dallas. Those are two winnable football games. What if they get better? What if they get better in terms of Jimmy G and you know, talk about teams that are banged up and haven't had their full complement for some time. When was the last time they had Jimmy G, Kittle, Ayuk, and Deebo Samuel? I think the last time they had that was the win over the Patriots. That was the last time they had that, and they looked terrific in that game, in that win over the Patriots for New England in week 7. That's the last time they had all of them. And they haven't had them all with Richard Sherman on the back end of the defense, who just returned.
Right.
I told you the Niners could come out of nowhere last week, and that's that. They're 5-6 now. So, I don't know. Yeah. Save that for later in the week.
Okay.
Because that's still a viable question.
I just threw it up anyway. Then there's this one with the Jaguars firing their general manager. If you were a GM, which team would you want to take over? Jags, Lions, Texans, Falcons. All four of openings. It's Bo Jackson's 58th birthday today.
Okay.
What's the most memorable Bo Jackson play?
Well,
90-yard touchdown running into the tunnel.
Yeah.
Running over the Boz.
Mm-hmm.
Running up the wall in Baltimore after he made that sick catch. All-star game. Led it off with a home run.
I think he ran up the fence in Yankee Stadium, actually. I don't know if that was Baltimore.
I looked it up. I think it was the Old Memorial.
Was it really Old Memorial? I thought he ran up the wall in Yankee Stadium.
He might have done both.
I think it's the – I'm sorry. I know what he did in football was amazing, but Ronald Reagan was in the booth with Vince Scully, and the whole country was tuned into the All-Star game because that's – A, what the whole country used to do, and B, the whole country wanted to see Bo Jackson play baseball.
Yeah.
And he took Rick Rushel deep, and so rare that an athlete will deliver when the whole country wants him to or her. Whole country wants it, expects it, hopes for it, and it happens. Like, moments like that are, when the whole country's watching, are rare. We talked about him being a Hall of Famer. I mean, Devin Hester leading off the Super Bowl like that is one of them. When you're like, we're expecting it, we hope, we want it, and we're all ready for it because we're all watching it. That's what I would go for Bo. Put it out there. Put that one out there, since that's just his birthday today. I like that one.
And it's also the anniversary of the release of Thriller, Mike.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
The best song on Thriller.
Oh, well, now, come on now.
They're all hits. Obviously. All right. It's one of the greatest albums ever.
Right.
Here's the four that I have. Thriller, PYT, Billie Jean, Beat It.
Wow. I'll turn to you. Which one do you got?
Billie Jean.
I do love PYT. I do love a little PYT.
That was a newer.
I've never said this in the history of this show, podcast, or now. That really gets me on the dance floor. Like, literally, if I'm at a party or I'm at a bar mitzvah or whatever, even if it's a cover, it's likely, as you know, a cover band. I'm not at something that where somebody normally sounds like Michael Jackson. That'll get me on the dance floor. I'll just sit there. Really, do I want to do this? I will get out there. Yeah.
See, I'm gonna go with one to be starting something then.
Also on
that's
that
a great
album.
One.
Yeah, another, yeah. I mean,
oh, first song on the album.
So wait
kicks
a minute.
It off.
Are you saying Thriller did not come out around Thanksgiving? I mean, around Halloween?
No.
Or did they release the single around Halloween?
Maybe they released the single, but the album came out
is
today.
That right?
And I believe 1982.
Because I would say that's like a Halloween 82. Album, but it really came out around Thanksgiving.
Are you trying to do a Die Hard thing here?
Oh, that's coming.
Oh, I was wondering where you're
you
trying to go.
You guys just
with that.
Take the L, man.
That's coming.
Just take the L. I don't know why you keep fighting this.
Christmas time's coming around, which means it's time for everybody to talk about the most overrated holiday movie ever.
Oh, not overrated, which I watched over the weekend.
I won't even say it.
Watch Elf over the weekend?
Okay. We'll save it because we got time to come.
All right.
At any rate, we haven't gotten to your news update yet either.
Try to get over.
844-204-REACH is the number to dial here. You got your news update over there, Chris?
Yeah, sure.
Let's hit it right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Go for it.
And now, with a report of the day's news from the world of sports and entertainment, someone who is not a journalist or newsman by any definition of the word whatsoever, it's Chris Brockman.
All right, guys, the Chiefs played in Tampa yesterday. We know Tampa, home of the upcoming Super Bowl later next year.
Mm-hmm. 10 weeks.
Hey, Patrick Mahomes is good. He had a great game.
I don't know if you guys have heard that. That's how you're leading?
Well, I'm getting to it. Patrick Mahomes talked about playing in Tampa and getting familiar in case they have to play there in a few months.
All right. You get a familiarity with the stadium, with the process of going to the hotel in the city, and that's definitely something that eases your mind when you try to get to the Super Bowl. If you know you've been in this place before and you understand what kind of pregame and stuff like that happens, and then to beat a good football team, that's a really good football team with a lot of talented players. That's a great thing about football and the NFL is you build and build and try to execute and be the best at the end of the season.
Would you sign for a Chiefs-Bucks rematch in the Super Bowl?
Yeah, because that would make me Nostradamus on the preseason pick that I had at least halfway home with the Bucks. I don't know if the Bucks are getting there, man.
Nah.
I mean, that would be quite the change. But I'm just looking up right now to see who they play next year. Oh my goodness gracious me! Oh my, do they play the NFC North next year? No, West next year to see if. Every year he's going to get used to being in a stadium where the Super Bowl is going to be.
Right.
They don't play. Do they?
But they play the Chargers.
They play the Chargers. So next year he can get comfortable.
Comfortable again.
And then are they in Vegas the following year?
Yeah, right?
Every year. Patrick Mahomes gets to measure for drapes.
He plays in the home stadium.
Set things up.
Measure for drapes.
He's
set
going
things
for
up.
Three or four in a row anyway.
When's the one in New Orleans?
Hold on.
When's the one in New Orleans? Is that 4 years from now? Because they'll play the NFC North again.
Oh, no,
the
actually,
in 4 years.
In 2023,
yes.
Not in Las Vegas.
Okay.
It's in Arizona.
That's right. I moved to Phoenix.
And then I think Vegas will be 2024, yep. I believe.
So in 2023. So is that the 2022 season?
2022 season.
Okay, yeah. Hold on a minute. Let's look this up. 2022 Chiefs.
Next year's Super Bowl is in out here.
By the way, get ready, sir. I just looked it up. Next year, the Chiefs play the NFC East, so good luck to you.
Oh.
Bring it.
Oh, by the way.
Don't sing it. Bring it.
By the way, if the Chiefs win it all, and if the Chiefs do go to Tampa and win it all because they're nice and comfortable, and Dallas is slated to come to Kansas City.
Opening night.
Dak's return. You could basically.
Opening night.
You could lock that in right now. Lock it in right now. And the Kansas City Chiefs in 2022, you said that Super Bowl is going to be where?
Okay, so the 2021 season.
Yes. Yes.
That Super Bowl is here in Los Angeles.
So they'll have been there.
And the 2022 season.
Yes.
That Super Bowl is in Glendale, Arizona.
And guess who they play that
Arizona?
Year? They play the NFC
West.
West.
Oh, my God. Oh. And then the next year, it hasn't been announced, but everyone assumes it'll be in Las Vegas.
I'll just tell it to you. I'll tell it to you straight. Every year. Same time next year. Let's go visit the spot so we can get comfortable with the surroundings and the hotel. You know? I think this end table looks good here.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. Let's see. Here for breakfast.
Yeah, that's it. Let's get in the routine.
Trophy presentation will be about here on the field.
Like the 40s.
Were they in Miami last year? Did they go to Miami last year before? Did they actually get used to it last year? Visited Miami and then came back?
If they did, that's going to be.
That would be.
Did that actually happen last year?
I
don't think so.
I don't think they.
No, I don't think so because they played the AFC East.
Yeah.
This year, because I know that, because there's no other reason for them to play the Jets. Jets didn't finish in first last year.
Yeah, but he hadn't won one yet, so they'll give him that. Now he's got
one. Now he's going to get it going.
Yeah, he gets a few.
I like it. We just stumbled onto something here.
This is a good bit. I like this.
And I thought this shouldn't have been your lead item of news at first blush.
You did poo-poo
look
him
at
first.
You. Look how I'm dressed.
Look how you're dressed as Cam Newton.
Look how I'm dressed.
Yeah, you didn't just fall off a turnip truck, but you did go and buy a rug that you cut a hole through.
A blanket.
Fantastic.
All right, what else you got over there?
You're going to get an invoice for the $10.
Okay, very good. I'll look for that. I'll put that through HR. Puffin stuff.
The opposite of the Chiefs are the Bears. Puffin stuff. What's that from?
Keep going.
The opposite of the Chiefs is the Bears. And
you have a Nagy sound?
Yeah, we have it.
Oh, baby.
So this is Matt Nagy from today talking about how everyone should be taking it personal.
Whatever it is, I know this. We better wake our tails up. Every freaking coach on the staff, every player better wake up and start understanding where we're at. Have some personal pride. Have a freaking sense of urgency. Know where we're at. Have some pride into who we're playing for and why we do this. And then go find a way to win as a team. That's my challenge to every single person in that building this week is that. And so yesterday was flat out embarrassing. Our guys know it. That, I'm not telling you something they don't know. They know it. But we're gonna step up and all coaches, all players, and we got 5 games left. So for us, it's our own personal challenge as to where we're at and how we're gonna do this thing. But that performance yesterday is ridiculous and can't happen. And obviously that starts with me.
Wow. Okay. So you know what I think of when I see that? I think of that. That's for an audience of one, and that one is who the owner of the Chicago Bears. Because if he told that to the team, then he's saying this publicly to let ownership know I'm on a warpath, if you will.
Yeah.
Certainly, if his seat is as hot as we expect it to be, but unfortunately for Matt, who's been on the show, and we love him. I told him it's been a bold choice of him as a fellow follically challenged individual to go with a visor because it just accentuates the follically challengedness of everything. He just strikes me as a nice guy, acting tough like that. It just doesn't resonate. You know what it reminds me of? Was me trying to act all mysterious as the host of The Great Escape. You know, when they put me in bomber jackets and, you know, had these people wake up at 2 a.m. and be thrown into some huge challenge in the middle of, like, you know, the desert or on the deck of an aircraft carrier. And here I am trying to act all mysterious I don't think I scared a single one of them. You know what I mean? Like
missile silo.
Right. You know, like you're waking up in a missile silo. It's a little discombobulating, but here's this guy in his bomber jacket trying to scare me. And I'm not, you know, he doesn't scare me.
No.
I'm not mysterious. I understand that. Well, that's one of the things I'm not. You cannot say, and you can use hopefully a lot of positive adjectives about me, but one of them is not, you know, hey, he's mysterious. Nagy is not like, you know, he used the word freaking a lot, I guess. I just don't know if the Bears fans are going to be like, okay, I got it. Yeah, he's got this thing under control. Oh, my word.
Yeah,
and as Dan Orlovsky said last hour, he was hired. He wasn't there when they drafted Trubisky. He was in Kansas City, where he's probably sitting there going, they drafted Trubisky instead of Mahomes. Great, because we like Mahomes here. We got to go get him, you know, and he's, yeah. You know, we better go get him around, you know, 10. He was in that draft room, but he was part of the evaluation of Trubisky. And I'm sure they hired him saying, what can you do for Mitchell? And this is what he said. I'm going to do this for Mitchell. This is how crazy it is, too.
They were great the first year.
Dude, they are 26 games removed from this man being the coach of the year because of what he did with Trubisky.
Right.
And they got double doinked out of the playoffs. And the guy who advanced because they got double doinked was Foles. And they're both there, and it's not working. 26 games removed from being coach of the year in this league. And Trubisky looked like that last night. And he's telling everybody that they got to friggin' look in the freaking mirror. And it sounds like me saying, okay, for $100,000, you need to get through this maze behind me. And beware, there are bats and owls. And it's dark out there. And they're looking at me like, I know you.
Yeah, give me some highlights.
Give me a highlight.
Exactly.
Give me some highlights. I didn't get that. But I was sitting there, standing there in my bomber jacket thinking, are they want highlights? I'll give them highlights. There's
a
bat.
Score.
Like, I just did a stand-up 10 minutes ago, and a bat flew off of my head, and it freaked me out.
This is Alcatraz, people.
Exactly. That's what I felt like watching Matt Nagy right there. And unfortunately for Matt, I was one and done. As the Great Escape was one and done. It was a great show, man.
Great show.
Epics now. My buddy Michael Wright, who was the one who put it on the air. He wanted to stay on. It really was a good show.
It was.
But as we all know, NFL man, not for long. Not for long.
What else you got over there?
Just a couple injury notes. As we said earlier, Daniel Jones MRI today. Giants are preparing for him to miss some game action with that hamstring injury. So it's going to be Colt McCoy.
Yeah, he tried to get back in the game, and you could see it wasn't going to work. Yeah. At Seattle. Oy, oy, oy.
Yeah, not good.
Colt McCoy at Seattle, baby. Here we go.
Hey, Colt McCoy has been in this league a long time.
There is no doubt.
Won some
games. Everybody, I'm looking at you, TJ Jefferson, and I'm looking at you, Chris Brockman, and I'll look at you, Don Bowie, through the camera. Everybody on Friday for Higher Register, back off of Colt McCoy.
Oh, come on.
Oh, come
He's
on.
He's mine.
All right.
He is mine for Higher Register.
Fine.
Book it. Right. I mean, Colt McCoy.
No. For sure.
I've got a funny Colt McCoy story if we got time at the end of the show.
No. Of course you do.
Save it for Friday.
Okay.
Save it for Friday. It's called Nuggets. Just drop a little
breadcrumbs. Yeah. With you.
Josh Jacobs had an ankle injury.
Yeah,
kind
I
of
saw
a,
that.
In the third quarter there. Looked really bad.
What a mess for the Raiders yesterday.
Looked like the dreaded high ankle sprain, but Ian Rapoport saying it looked worse than it is.
Good.
So, you know, he shouldn't really miss
it. He's one of my favorites, man.
Philip Lindsay also went down.
By the way, Vegas.
Possible knee issue as well.
And did he go down? Okay, I missed that. By the way, in terms of the Raiders, it looked terrible. It was awful. Don't worry. Dr. Feelgood from the NFL scheduling department is coming along. The get right opponent, New York Jets, next up for the Raiders.
He's the one that makes you feel all right.
What else you got over there, Chris? Anything?
Yeah, as we mentioned, the Niners are going to play their week 13 and 14 home games in Arizona at the Cardinals. Worked out well there. And Jaguars fired GM Dave Caldwell.
Yeah, that doesn't bode well for Doug Marrone.
That does not. And but Justin Fields, congratulations.
I don't know. I don't know about that. Although they look pretty, they've come so close to that second win. I am just rooting for that second win out of them, just to put me in a more of a rocking chair for the Jets, because I know the Jets are going to win one more. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Let's take a break. Back in 2 minutes with one of our favorites, Billy Gardell, baby. Bob Hartz Abishola and Billy Hartz, the Steelers, when we come back. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today. That's GEICO.com. Okay, again, I've done about three different versions of this promo. Last week, it was Ravens Steelers Thanksgiving night. Everybody gather around the television sets for the beachfront property known as the third Thanksgiving game, the Thanksgiving night game on NBC, and then that beachfront property got kicked to Sunday afternoon, 1:15 Eastern time, and then that lasted about a day, and now here I am telling you about Tuesday night football, tomorrow night, Ravens Steelers on NBC. Mike Florio was on earlier this show about 2 hours ago saying the walkthrough today or practice today for the Ravens that was on got pushed to the evening to say, let's just go through one more COVID test, see if everybody's fine. And then they got to get on a plane tomorrow. Apparently, there's
a snowstorm.
Oh, my gosh.
In Pittsburgh.
We're going to play this game. It's coming.
My gosh.
Got to have it. Got to have it. I don't want a week 18. There's so many different ways to talk about it, but we'll discuss it with our next guest right here on the Rich Eisen Show. We are now back together, one big happy simulcast family, right here on our radio networks as well as NBC Sports on Peacock. He's one of the stars of Bob Hartz Abishola every single Monday night on CBS at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, including tonight. They're already in the midst of season two. One of our favorites. Love this guy, Billy Gardell, back here on the show. How are you, Billy?
Hello, sir, and happy Thanksgiving weekend belated. Hope you had a great one.
I did, Billy. And, you know, when I say you're one of my favorites, it's not just because you and I have great chats when you come on the show. You know that, Billy, right? You know that, right? It's not just that.
No, I believe you, Rich.
No,
I believe you.
It's because
I feel the same, although...
Yes.
Go ahead.
No, it's because you're a man with a big heart, and it's not just because your show has got a heart in the title of the show, Billy. You're a man with a big heart who also is, you know, if I may say, a regular viewer of this show. And you keep up on what goes on in this program. Right, Billy?
Well, I do, Rich. And you know, what does it take to build a championship team, Rich? You got to count on the guy next to you. Am I right?
You are correct, Billy. You are correct.
You got to have accountability and know that those guys have your back no matter what, right?
That's right, Billy. That's what the Steelers don't just...
Well, imagine my disgust when a couple weeks ago on the show, Brockman and Michael got their hands on some Luminaldi's pizzas.
Yep.
And they didn't even say anything to you.
That's correct,
Billy. Let me tell you something. That needs to be called out in the open. My buddy Joey O'Connell, who I moved from Pittsburgh with 20 years ago in Los Angeles, we took whatever the car would hold and came to L.A. with $2,000 in our pockets for 1 month's rent.
Mm-hmm.
And we have shared everything from a gas station cheeseburger to a 5-star meal at Mastro's. And I have never once not told that man what was going on in the food department. And he has never done that to me either. So the two of you need to look at yourselves. Because if you want to go the distance, you got to have your bosses back. That's all I'm going to say on that topic.
Yep, and you also didn't mention our social media grandmaster, T.J. Jefferson, involved in that, our call screener who you spoke to when you called in moments ago, Adam Chudwin, all of them, jackals. There's no other way to put
it. What?
Jackals.
You know what, Rich? I would be running 2-a-days over there. I would keep those guys out of craft service for a little while until they learn their lessons. And just so you punks know, I sent Rich a pack of 6 Luminaldis that are at his house, and I hope he doesn't share any of them with you.
Is fact. As a matter of fact, Don put up the text that I screen grabbed and sent. I go to the door There is a box of pizzas because Billy asked me for my address about a few days before. I sent him a text. Did you send pizzas? He wrote back. Let me read for the radio audience. Those are the pies those heathens should have shared with you. We will deal with those two properly when I come on the show next week. An LOL and then a heart emoji because, like I said, you're all about heart, and it's not just because the heart emoji is in your show title, Billy. That's what's called full circle,
you
like
know,
a pizza.
I look at myself as a nice filler when you can't get McConaughey on. You know what I mean?
You're just as handsome, Billy.
You're the deep, you know what?
I look like I ate Clark Gable is what I look like.
You know what you are, Billy? You're the deep dish version of McConaughey. That's what you are. That's what I'm saying.
I am the deep That's exactly right. I'm the deep dish McConaughey.
Yes, you are, Billy. Yes, you are.
And, fantasy name.
And I greatly appreciate your friendship, your concern, your respect.
Let's tighten it up a little bit. All right.
Thank you.
Let's look out for our quarterback.
Thank you. 10-0, William. 10-0. Your team is 10-0, and we're assuming 11-0 is right around the corner as well. How does that feel?
Well, let's
how
does that feel, I kind of feel like Baltimore has become a little predictable this year, and I think people are kind of catching their number, and I hope they stay that way through this week because nothing. I got to tell you, watching 4-3-7 teams on Thanksgiving was very 2020. That was right on brand for 2020.
Yes.
And the beginning of the true Christmas season for me would be dashing Baltimore's hopes. So let's just rip the Band-Aid off and send them home for the holidays because that's what we know is going to happen.
But
that's inevitable.
You know, and I know, look, Big Ben was somewhat of a question mark coming into the season because of his injury and how he missed last year and his advancing age. But when I say how does it feel to be 10-0 on the version of 11-0, like this didn't even happen during the Steel Curtain era. Billy, this is like a first for you.
No,
you
know never. What I mean? They never got past. I think 8-0 was the
right.
Furthest they'd ever gotten undefeated. This is tremendous, and you know it's one of those teams though that you know with the defense is the difference. The advent of Ben coming back and having that cannon at full power. Nobody knew that was going to happen. That was an incredible treat. The young receivers stepping up, Johnson and Claypool. This kid Claypool, I love him. We can't get him downfield enough, as far as I'm concerned. But the defense, man, the defense and the special teams. Ray McLeod, and I got to tell you, since that trade we made for Minka Fitzpatrick,
oh yeah,
was the best in the world because that part of the field is where we used to get scorched. I mean, Brady would tell us. He'd like, I love cover two. I love zone. And he would torch us in that area. And I believe Minka has taken that away. And because he's taken that away, that pass rush has intensified. The Steelers have always lived on linebackers. And when your linebacking core is strong enough, you can kind of hide the holes in the secondary. And for a while, we didn't have all those engines in there. But now, man, these guys are on their horses and they're ready to go. Watt and Tuitt. And I even love the guys that are stepping up. Spillane, he's on the case. That's what I did. You saw
yes,
it.
Yes,
and I just feel like we have a very special group right now. It's, you know that feeling. When you watch your team long enough, you go, hold on, something's cooking. And I just, the only two teams I see, now the Steelers in the past, we've been notorious to playing down and losing a game we shouldn't have. But I think they're different this year that way. But the two teams that worry me a little bit the rest of the way is Buffalo, because I think they're heating up again. And I'm very wary of Indianapolis's defense. I think it's better than a lot of people give them credit for. And those are the two teams that might have a shot at ruining us running the table. But like I said, we're just worried about getting Baltimore and making sure we send them home miserable this week. That's all we're hoping for right now.
Billy Gardell here on the Rich Eisen Show, and we'll talk about Bob Hart's Abishola in a second. Again, season 2 continues tonight on CBS every Monday, as it does at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. I'm looking at the schedule here. You got Indianapolis and Pittsburgh, though. So I know that we're not talking about fans and craziness and waving towels, but there is still that temperature and the confluence that is unique to your stadium. The Buffalo one, I don't blame you, man. I mean, that is going to be a great game. It's a Sunday nighter. The whole country, it's at Western New York. It's just up the road. It's just great. I love Josh Allen versus Big Ben. It's just going to be one of those Donnybrooks. But I do think there's a real shot at 16-0, man. I really do. And then the question about that lurks, essentially, is the one team that the football god schedulers did not see fit to put on a schedule, and that's Kansas City. You got to be genuinely concerned about that being down the road, I imagine, Billy.
Well, especially after watching Mahomes and Hill go off like they did. That's the thing with that team. You got to get up on them early, and you got to keep on the gas as long as you can, because that's the kind of team where it's just all of a sudden it's a waterfall. You're up by 13, and then they score 24. Unanswered. So I think getting off on them early is the key. I think you got to give up some coverage to put a spy on Mahomes, but I don't know. I think the Raiders have played them a couple times tough this year. They seem to have a semblance of a defense for them, but the dangerous thing is at any minute, it's just raining touchdowns with that team. So, yeah, that team definitely worries me. And I'll tell you who else, nobody wants to play is Tennessee. No one wants to see that truck of a man, Henry, running at them, especially if he gets up into the second level. Oh, my goodness. I he reminds me so much of Jerome Bettis. You can just see the defense get deflated. When there's 5 minutes left on the field and he comes trotting out, you just know you're in for a five-minute beating before you might get the ball back.
Yeah, that's the
He's just devastating, and I think Tennessee is – I got to tell you, and that's another team, that the way you beat them is you got to get off early again. That's how we beat them. Because if you get off early, then right. Tannehill looks like he did when he played for the Dolphins. But if they're grinding, man, that's a team I don't think anybody wants to see in the playoffs.
Yeah, that would be a rematch again of that game in which Tennessee came storming back, and, you know, Big Ben watching Gostkowski miss at the end. It was just like, okay, we'll take that. I mean, didn't see that one coming.
And, yeah, we'll take it, man. We'll take it and run out of here.
Because, again, I love you, Billy Gardell. I'm going to give you your dream scenario. You ready for this dream scenario? Here's a dream scenario for you, Steelers.
Go, give me.
For you, Mr. Pittsburgh Steeler, for all the Steelers fans. AFC Championship game. You welcome Le'Veon Bell into your house. You beat him. Then you go to the Super Bowl and you see Antonio Brown in Tampa, where we all know Santonio Holmes once dotted the I for Big Ben, who didn't get the MVP that game. But you go to Tampa against Antonio Brown and you beat them, and Big Ben does get his Super Bowl MVP, and you hoist the Lombardi in 2020. How about that? That's your dream scenario right there, right? That's it.
I'm fine with all that. I love all that. And if the Patriots, you know, they're gonna miss the playoffs as well. So
but
that's
you get
just
Brady.
Extra joy for all at the holiday season.
But you beat Brady and Antonio Brown in the place where Santonio Holmes dotted the I. But even with all that, Ben didn't get the MVP. You do that, but you got to beat Le'Veon Bell first in your own house. Your thoughts?
And then I think that would be perfect. And then I hope NFL Films will hire me to narrate that. And instead of that deep sentimental voice, I'll just do it as a yinzer. And then we couldn't believe it. We got down into the end zone and we blew Brady out.
I would pay for that. I would pay for you to do a yinzer voice over a Steelers championship reel. I would totally buy that. America's game.
Them Steelers were coming in riding an undefeated season, and that ain't easy in that, you know?
Who came on and said that the old joke is how many Pittsburgh Steelers fans does it take to fix, like, what, a light bulb? Like, it's one to screw it in and three to talk about the great steel curtain days? Who told us that joke? Somebody told us that
That's
joke.
That's funny. I don't know.
It has to probably be a joke.
I forget somebody told Manganiello? Us that joke.
Seems like he would be
How
the
many
one.
Steelers fans would it take to fix a light bulb? One to screw it in and three to talk about the great steel curtain days while they do it. That's the one that I heard recently. Oh, gosh. All right. So
I see nothing wrong with that. I do that when I'm at the grocery store.
Fantastic.
I remember a couple years ago I was at the grocery store out here before Super Bowl, and it was right. The one where we were playing Seattle, and we were I was at the checkout, and there's a guy behind me in a Seattle shirt, and he had some balloons. He had some Seattle balloons he'd bought at the grocery store.
Yeah.
I turned around and said, "You know what? You wait 4 hours, those will be on sale."
How'd that one go with that 12? How'd it go with that 12? Did it go right?
I'm not sure they get the East Coast humor out here.
No, they do not. But, hey, the good thing is, though, is, Billy, we can cut people off in traffic because we're East Coasters and everybody else is here laid back. Everybody out here in L.A. lines up to get off in the same lane in an exit, and you could just go just right in front of it because that's the way we drive. Bob Hart's Abishola, sir, season two. This is a funny show with a good heart, and you're the perfect guy to make this thing work. You must be loving this. You must be loving it, Billy.
Rich, I'm beyond grateful. I mean, usually, you know, you get on a hit sitcom, that's a one in a million shot, and then they give you another chance, and by episode four, you're canceled, and you're doing infomercials. So to be in the mix again, I am beyond grateful, and I think it's a sweet show. It has a sweet message, and of course it's written by Chuck Lorre, I mean, and Al Higgins, and so it's like working for the Yankees, man. I'm incredibly grateful, and it's been getting good reviews and good ratings, and God willing, we'll let this one run for 5 or 6 years as well.
I'll give you the floor on what the message is for those who might be new to your show and why they should watch it. Billy, go for it.
Yeah, Bob Hart's Abishola. Bob is a guy, he's a Midwestern guy, owns a compression socks factory, and he has a heart attack from the stress of the business and taking care of his family, and he wakes up in the hospital, and he meets this nurse who is from Nigeria, and she is here as a hardworking immigrant in this country trying to make a better life for her son and her family, and the commonality that they share is they both take care of their families, and she has a lot of strength and stoicism, and Bob is a hard worker, but he knows how to have fun, and they kind of give each other what they don't have, and the message of this show is, if you're lucky enough to fall in love, doesn't matter what that person looks like, doesn't matter what size, shape, color, love wins the day. It's the most powerful weapon we have, and it's the last one we reach for. So I'm very proud of this show, man. I think if you give us a couple shots, you'll be hooked.
Now and obviously many people have, Billy, but it's got a great message. I just wanted to give you the stage here, if you will, to deliver
that. Thank you, my man.
And thanks for the call. And most importantly, thanks for being a friend. You know, I don't mean it'll go all Golden
Absolutely.
Girls theme on you right here, but thanks for being a friend. And, you know, I feel that you're out there for me, Billy, even when I don't know that you're out there watching. And I appreciate the pizzas.
That's right.
I'm
not just, well, I'm not interested in the show just when I'm on it. I'm watching. You hear that, Brockman? You hear that, Michael?
I hear you. I'm
listening.
Here's what I'm going to have to deal with when you hang up, Billy, is Brockman is, what he says, is an innocent bystander in all this. Right. The pizza acquisition was not his idea.
Oh,
it was not his idea. He was just there, but he didn't think it. No, like TJ, you're the only one who said at some point, like, hey, what about Rich? Should we?
That was me.
Right. Yeah. And then for me to find out that it happened, and then I found out the excess amounts of pizza that were acquired because of how cheap they are, they got it to get a deal. They got 12 pies, for crying out loud.
Here's the
12,
thing.
A dozen.
They egged me on to get them.
Oh.
So it wasn't like it was my idea.
Mike, see, you started talking about it over the summer, though.
Billy, they're trying to just
no.
Throw
here's the
me
problem.
Under.
Here's the problem is that I want this to be
a
lesson
learned.
I see
learned. How they're turning, but hey, listen,
right.
Rich, I want you to know that I've written some letters,
yes.
And we're gonna have a committee put together, and we're gonna look into this, and we're gonna get to the bottom of who's responsible for what, because, you know, if we let this go, who knows what this leads to in the future. We don't want to set a precedent.
Or how about this? Let's reverse engineer it, Billy. Let's have them come up with various foods that I like so much that they refuse to include me on, and then I find out on live television that I can get in copious amounts because people feel bad for me. So why don't you guys try and get some Primanti brothers together? At Carlo's Bakery from Cake Boss for dessert. Talk about getting that and don't get it. I mean, and then we start getting it in copious amounts here. We can game the system.
Rich, I'm going to ask Billy if he's
Listen,
sending stuff
say
from
the
Pittsburgh.
Word and I'll have some of that vinegar slaw sent right to the house.
could Billy send some original Oyster House fish sandwiches from stations from Market Square?
See,
now, you know the Oyster House. Now, see, you're starting. I'm starting to warm up to you again.
See? That's my favorite fish sandwich, Billy. If you could send some of those, that'd be great.
That's the best, right?
Talking this man.
Fish Fry Friday.
That was it.
You take care of yourself, Billy. Let's chat again soon, okay?
All right, listen, much love to all you guys.
See you,
and love to your families.
Same
be
to you.
Safe in the holidays. Take it a day at a time, and we're going to get through all this, man. God bless you guys.
Same to you. That's Billy Gardell.
Take care, Billy.
Great human, great actor, great person, great fan. Big fan. At Billy Gardell on Twitter. That's great. I mean,
so he's the one. Deep Dish McConaughey.
He's Deep Dish McConaughey.
Deep Dish
McConaughey. He's a dish.
It's very funny. That is in the running for fantasy.
Deep Dish McConaughey?
The next year. That is great.
And the avatar is Billy Gardell.
Absolutely.
Although right now, leader in the clubhouse. Because how many times do you hear this phrase these days? No doubt about it. My fantasy team name for next year is Abundance of Caution. It is. Abundance of Caution. And there was one. There was. Hold on. Let me get this straight here.
Plausible, eventual possibility.
That's a good one. There was one. Let me take a break. I'll find it during Twitter, during the break on Twitter. It was great. And speaking of humanity, the message that Billy Gardell just mentioned, two moments, two sound bites from post-game pressers yesterday. Talk about the humanity of the players playing this great game of football. That's coming up next. Hey, football fans, are you an Amazon Prime member? Did you know that you can watch Thursday Night Football live on Prime Video? That's right. It really is the future of football because you can catch all the action on any device almost anywhere in the world. You can choose your favorite announce team, including Troy Aikman and Joe Buck, or Bucky Brooks and Daniel Jeremiah from Move the Sticks, or Chris Long and Carey Champion from NFL Next. Get next-gen stats, too. Watch in-game replays on demand, all within Prime Video's X-Ray. Next-gen stats are real-time stats powered by AWS. No more waiting around. You can access the current stats anytime. Need to check how your fantasy player is doing? Well, this is the ideal way. Need to check how your fantasy player is doing? Well, this is the ideal way to stay up to speed. In-game on-demand replays are accessible on your remote, on Fire TV, or by turning your mobile device sideways. So, if you're a streamer or simply want the most custom way of watching Thursday Night Football, tune in live every Thursday starting October 8th. Coverage begins at 7 p.m. and kickoff is at 8:20 p.m. Eastern on Prime Video. Also available on Fox and NFL Network. NFL Network simulcast subject to change. Thursday Night Football is presented by Bud Light Platinum. We're back here on NBC Sports on Peacock. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. If you're on hold, stand hold. We'll take your phone calls as soon as our radio audience returns here on the program. Chris, what's a poll question update while I... place batteries in the ears that just went out that Mike Del Tufo does not replace every day. What do you got over there?
Yeah, you got it. So I put two up. Who ends up the seventh seed in the NFC? Cardinals, 49ers, Vikings.
Yep.
Cards are up early in this one, 60%, 23% for San Francisco and 19% for Minnesota.
All right.
And also, it's Bo Jackson's 58th birthday today.
Yes, I like this one.
What's the most memorable Bo Jackson play moment? So the 90-plus yard touchdown where he runs into the tunnel, that was in Seattle, and then he ran over the Boz. The running up the wall baseball catch or leading off the All-Star game with a home run.
That is, what do we have as a winner there?
See, I like that one as well. The home run's only getting 4%.
What's the matter with you?
The 90-yard touchdown run into the tunnel, 38%.
All right, go to at Rich Eisen Show to vote on our poll question. We're back here on our show with our radio network as well. All one big happy family. And that's what I want us to be. I think we've gotten a ton of mileage, if you will, to use the content phrase in our business, out of the whole pizza mess that happened here. Billy was the guest that I mentioned. We're going to have Bryan Cranston on this week. I thought maybe you guys would think Bryan Cranston was sending the pizzas because he's also a great human being. It was Billy. So now I think what we need to do after Billy has called you heathens and gave you grief is we got to move on. We will move on. I might make mention every now and then, but I think we've done that, 'cause I already hear the finger pointing over there. I want this to be a learnable lesson to not forget about people that should be important in your life. And I want you to not point fingers at each other. I want to come together as a group. Okay. Is that fine?
Well, we're all together. I mean, we've got the pieces.
I know that. That's the whole point. All right. So you haven't learned a single thing is what you're saying.
Brock, it's crazy.
UNITY.
Very good.
I learned if you complain enough, you'll get free stuff from people.
All right. We're picking that up.
Nathan in Los Angeles here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Nathan?
Hey, Rich, how's it going?
Thanks,
Rob. And I trust you enjoyed you enjoyed your holiday.
Oh, yeah. I had an actual day off Friday. It was great. You know, survive in advance. All good.
So I have this crazy but fascinating possible scenario that I want to throw at you. Follow me around. Michigan parts ways with Jim Harbaugh.
Okay.
The Chicago Bears seizing the opportunity parts
yes.
ways with Matt Nagy in order to bring in their former quarterback. And in his turn, Jim Harbaugh brings in his former quarterback, Colin Kaepernick.
Oh, boy. That would put the Chicago Bears right on the list of teams of interest. That's no doubt about it. I don't know at all if it's possible that the Bears would be interested in Jim, who, as we know, is seemingly at the end of his tenure as Michigan coach. I don't know what Michigan's I have no insight into any of that.
No, it's just a crazy thought.
That is crazy.
It would be fascinating if it happens.
And no doubt about it. Thanks for the call, Nathan. Can you imagine if that happens?
No, I can't imagine that happening.
Yeah.
That would be crazy.
Kaepernick returning would have to be done in an offseason where the meetings happen. Everybody has a plan for what he wants to do for his public works while he is the face of a franchise. And then we need to see, you know, how he would look in somebody's offense. And it would have to be obviously gamed out, right head coach, gamed out on in OTAs and things like that post-pandemic. That's the other thing, too, you know, I as you know, think that Colin Kaepernick deserves a shot in this league, and there are many other quarterbacks who get shots in this league that aren't anywhere near the talent level of Kaepernick, who I'm still assuming can play football at a very high level.
He's still working out every day.
Okay, right. So, honestly, in the 20 years or 18 seasons that I've covered NFL for the NFL for NFL Network, he's top five in terms of playmakers at quarterback. I'm serious. When he was taking the Niners to the Super Bowl, he was, as I called, he was an ATM. You put the card in and you order checking or savings, and out would come out a 20-yard run or a 30-yard pass. That's what would come out. Ever. It's just the money would just come out. You put the card in, the money would come out. Now, honestly, he destroyed the Packers in a playoff game. I mean, just absolutely obliterated them.
No answer.
Foreshadowed a lot of the quarterbacks that we see in this league who are very successful running and passing as well. I mean, but to say, hey, the Broncos should have given him a shot. First of all, Broncos not giving him a shot for various reasons. One is that they try to hire him right out of San Francisco. That didn't work out for whatever reason. I don't know if Kaepernick's, if you will, politics mesh with management. And on top of it, all of it, even if, let's just say, that was water under a Denver bridge, okay? Even if that was water under the Denver bridge, and they said, well, boy, we need him. Hey, Colin, you want to start against the Saints tomorrow? Sure. It wouldn't have been possible. You've got to go through protocols. You have to.
Right.
You saw how long it took for Le'Veon Bell to be on the Chiefs and then play for the Chiefs and Brown Antonio for the Bucks.
Takes a week. Yeah, takes a week.
It was a non-starter for this past weekend. Let's talk about the humanity of NFL players, athletes. Obviously, it's not just the NFL, but just what athletes are having to endeavor playing in this pandemic, and also in this world where we're just so stat crazy and focused on what's going on fantasy wise. And two players playing this weekend had remarkable post-game press conference moments that I want to play for you to just bring it home. That we heard, as you know, Cameron Jordan mention a couple weeks ago after the Saints obliterated the Bucks on Sunday night. We had him calling the very next morning, and he was telling us that, you know, he stays in a separate room when he comes home from road trips because he's afraid of giving the virus to his family until he's tested and free, best he can tell. And also, these guys going and they have to go through these protocols every day. And their families, some they're not even around because of this virus. Here is Raheem Mostert yesterday, and we're, you know, I'm sure many of you are excited to see Raheem Mostert play, certainly because you've been waiting for him to return on your fantasy team. He did fumble once, and he did score a touchdown, but there's more to it for Raheem Mostert, that's for sure.
One thing I would like to say, though, you know, no matter what we go through, we're a team, and we truly believe that, you know, we're going to take care of each other. We're going to look after each other. I mean, if you think about my situation, you know, I left my family back at home to be a part of something like this, and I don't take anything for granted. You know, I try to do my best to make sure that me, the people around me, my teammates, everybody, the whole organization is looking, you know, after each other, and that's one thing that I pride myself on. So for me personally, you know, it's been a struggle, you know, not having my little family. Sorry if I get a little emotional, but, you know, it's really tough, and I miss them so much. And it's a fight out here every day. You know, you're fighting for your life. And I just want people to understand that, you know, it's just not football players. It's the whole organization. It's everybody. People have to make sacrifices out here. And, you know, I sacrificed to leave my family behind so that way I can make a living for them. That's all I got to say, really.
And that got me. That got me right in the gut when I saw that yesterday. And the 49ers, as you know now, as a group, are going to have to be in Arizona right around the holiday times, too. The fact that they won that game yesterday and that they might actually make the playoffs, we'll see what happens in December, remarkable. And then there's the case of Kendall Hinton. You want to talk about, you know, trying to make ends meet. A month ago, he was in sales. Over the weekend, he was a practice squad player who was told, you're going to be the starting quarterback for the Denver Broncos. And he had to go, what? He went 1 for 9, 13 yards, and 2 interceptions. That does not matter. What he did yesterday, I thought, out of the stat line, forget it. What he did was remarkable. Not the way he envisioned making his first career NFL start. Certainly not a quarterback for the Denver Broncos, but against the New Orleans Saints like that. This is what he had to say after his performance yesterday.
I can easily say, you know, this has been the most eventful 24 hours. Of my life, but you know, when I got the call, it was you know, pure excitement. You know, of course there was nerves and disbelief, but you know, the encouragement the team gave me, and you know, guys just keeping me up the whole time, they made it a lot easier for me. A month ago, I was selling fundraisers, you know, and just trying to scrape up what I could, you know, trying to stay in shape and figuring out what was next. You know, I always kept that positive attitude about, you know, what was next and when it came to football. But, you know, reality did hit, and, you know, I kind of started having to be an adult.
I sure hope. Now, I know that this is a business, and my gosh, you know, the NFL stands for not for long. I sure hope that that performance yesterday and being there in the manner in which he had to be there earns him a spot on the Broncos at the position that he is being paid to play at wide receiver. I think he has earned the right to make this roster for a game, at least the rest of the year. He's earned that right. Pressed into service in that way, he didn't think he would ever be playing against the Saints at all, let alone a quarterback. My gosh. And we talk about, boy, what a horrible line that was for him and his stat line. It's not about the stats. It's about the heart and the want to and the humanity of the situation that mandates, in my mind, an opportunity for him to get a shot at receiver and see what he could do there. He's earned it. He's earned it. So we're always talking about this and that and the other thing and fantasy football. And, you know, I get caught up in it too. But let's not forget about the people inside the helmet and also the NBA players and the WNBA players and all the players who have been playing NHL, MLB in this pandemic and trying their hearts out. I say thank you to them. Thanks for taking in this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. Enjoy Monday Night Football tonight. I think the Seahawks take it. We'll talk about the quarterback situation with Jaws. Ron Jaworski will be our lead guest tomorrow. We'll see you then.
Hello, everyone. This is Eagles Hall of Fame quarterback Ron Jaworski, and I am so excited to bring you the hottest new podcast for the NFL and gaming. Welcome to Jaws Picks, featuring me, Ron Jaworski, and some of the most famous names in sports, music, and entertainment, as I give you my expert analysis and predictions of each and every NFL game. So far this season, my predictions are over 55% correct against the spread. That's a pretty good number, folks. And over 67% picking winners straight up. You do not want to miss out on this podcast. Every week, I will tell you who, how, and why each NFL game will be decided. Take the guesswork and stress out of gaming and subscribe to Jaws Picks wherever you get your podcast. That's Jaws Picks wherever you get your podcast. Stay safe, take care, and let's make some beer money.